Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies. It's Sunday, April 30th, 2023. May Day is upon us. And my guests today are, I don't know why I decided to bring that up, but yeah, it's May. My guests today are Dean Edwards, Brett Raybould, and Samantha Ruddy. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, what up?
Let's meet everyone individually and alphabetically by first name, starting with co-star and co-writer of the play Race, the movie, the play, now at Soho Playhouse. Oh, that's why I mentioned that it's May, because it's there for the whole month of May. It's Brett Raybould. Hey, Brett.
Hey, great to be here. Happy May Day. You know, I decided to work. I don't usually work when it's a May Day, but I'm here, so I'm glad to be here.
Well, glad we're taping on April 30th when you know, and then you have all of May Day off.
Right. Day of tomorrow. Observance. Day of observance. It's very sacred in our family.
Hey, so more than one guest is involved with this project, but we'll let you go first, Brett, and just tell us a little bit about Race, the movie, the play.
Hell yeah. Let's get that plug in. No, it's a great play. I co-wrote it. I co-star in it with the other man on this podcast, the one and only, the great Dean Edwards. The play is a slapstick comedy spoofing all of the recent cheesy race movies. So picture a scary movie, but for white savior films like Green Book, The Help, Hidden Figures, Django Unchained, etc. I co-wrote it with a great comedian named Christian Duran. It stars, I play a character named Wyatt Savior, who is tasked with driving around a brilliant black musician named Gene Yes, played by Dean Edwards, through his concert tour in the Deep South. It won Best Script and Best Actor at the New York Theater Festival, and it starts its month-long run at the Soho Playhouse, a great off-Broadway venue, this May 3rd through May 27th. We have 14 shows in that span, so if you're in the New York area, please get them tickets. And if you DM me, I will send you a juicy promo code. Plug over. Go to racethemovietheplay.com to get tickets, or Soho Playhouse's website. All right, plug over.
All right. Well, let's introduce.
All right. How'd I do?
Producer. He's co-producer and co-star, and there's nothing much to say about Race, the movie, the play. It's Dean Edwards. Hi, Dean.
Yo, what up, Doug? Yeah. Brett pretty much just, yo, Brett just turned into a rapper at every awards show and plugged everything. I'm like, that's ball game. I mean, that's, I'm in the show with him. And you know, shout out to both Brett and Christian. They did such an amazing job on the script, and I'm happy to you know, to be part of it, man. And it's funny because the show got nominated for multiple awards. Brett and I both were up for best actor in New York Theater Festival, and I was initially nominated for best supporting actor, and we were like, y'all missed the whole point of the
I know.
Missed the point of the show was that, you know, because we looking back at films, Doug, obviously you're a big film head, and so something like Pulp Fiction, where Sam Jackson got nominated for best supporting actor and Travolta was nominated for best actor, and our show goofs on that, how you'll have this black character with all this meat on the bones, but and so then when they nominated us and I got best supporting actor, we were like, y'all totally missed the point
of the missed play. They missed it. Dean's character has more scenes, more lines, more time on stage, more drama, more jokes than my character. And yet the fine folks at New York Theater Festival, perhaps it went over their head. But our show is glad to have earned that 84 cent trophy. So nice plastic trophy.
And it's also you know, sadly strategic sometimes as well, because like you know, obviously in the case of Green Book itself, his part is equal to the other guy, but they just they knew he would win for sure. He would clean up in the supporting category.
Exactly.
Because it's Mahershala Ali and he's amazing.
Right.
Well, this is a great thing to parody on stage, and I'm excited to check it out. And also joining us today is someone who enjoys a good stage play.
It's true. All the rumors are true.
Yeah, welcome back to the show, Samantha Reddy. Hey, Samantha.
Thanks, Doug. Oh, it's great to be back. You know, when I'm not at the theater, I love talking to Doug about the movies.
Right? This has got everything today.
I feel like I don't have anything going on now. I was like, what do I have to plug? Nothing.
I can do that very robotic pitch again if you need me to go back into doing that for 5 more minutes.
Brett, do your elevator pitch. What's your play about again?
I think if I do it one more time, there won't be any more time in this podcast. So,
yeah, we got to talk movies. We got to play some games. But, yeah, I just wanted to check in with you, Sam, and see, you know, what you've been up to. But sounds like just living life.
No, I've been living life. I'm taking a small breather. I recorded my first special earlier this month, and
nice.
Yeah, so I'm kind of starting from zero, and I've been working on some stuff, but yeah, I'm in like a nice little transitional period now, but I'm excited to see what the special looks like when it actually comes out later this year.
Where is it going to show up?
It'll be with Comedy Dynamics. I'm not sure where it'll be yet.
Congratulations.
That's awesome, Sam. Congrats.
Thanks.
That's so
cool. I'm excited. I don't know what I'm gonna call it yet, but we'll see.
Oh, they don't make you name it ahead of time?
Yeah, they do not.
Wow.
Do you have titles? Do you have titles like in the mix? Do you have like your top five titles narrowed down or no?
No, I'm not really that much of a planner. Like, what'll probably happen is they'll give me the final cut. I'll watch it, and whatever line or like phrase stuck out to me the most is probably just what I'll call it.
Right. Okay.
I like that.
Did any, you know what, since it's, let me ask you this, because this was, I saw a bunch of people were doing Comedy Dynamics. They had like a sort of festival where a couple of people shot, right?
Yeah, they taped like 16 specials, like back to back over the course of 4 days.
Right, no, that's awesome. Did you attend any other ones, and did anyone catch a L? I'm a comic.
Dean, I'm legally not allowed to answer that question.
Oh. Yeah, we don't want to hear about the specials that went good. That's not how it works.
Well, in the middle of mine, I spilled all the water down my shirt, and then I had to go back down to hair and makeup in the middle of the special and have them blow dry me. Oh, and then I came back up like 7 minutes later, like nothing happened. So if I had been someone who watched my show, that's something I would tell people about.
No, but you know, that also could work to your advantage, because under such turmoil, you returned and you came out with an even better special. That's how I would have flipped it. You know,
fingers crossed.
Yeah. When you came back out, people were like, that's amazing. She spilled the water, but she's back.
I could overcome any adversity.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like when the movie breaks, you know, or when that used to happen. I don't know if it even happens anymore, but, you know, when the film would break in the movie theater, when they get it back on again, even if it was a movie you weren't that into, there's something exciting about, hey, it's back, you know?
Right.
So, like, you know, that's, I bet you had a nice little, you know, uptick in the audience energy from that, from that happening.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Mm-hmm. I've always said Sam, it's really important to me that your special has great continuity. That's what I'm looking for.
Right. The empty water bottle might give it away at the end.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all to all three of you for being here today. Each episode of this show has a segment before we play the games that I call Recommendation Nation. And that's where I ask each of my guests to recommend a movie that's within a specific category. And for today, since now I'm assuming, I didn't ask everybody where they were, but I assume all three of you are currently in New York.
Yeah.
So what I thought would be fun is, I've never asked this before of a panel, is to just recommend a New York movie. Like, you know, your idea of like what you think of when you think of a movie that's about or in New York. We'll start with Dean, Brett.
Dean, you want to go first, since I feel like you're the most New York amongst us.
Oh,
you know what? That's interesting. You know what? So the first movie that popped to mind, Doug, that's a great category too. The first movie that popped to mind was Goodfellas. Because I think I just saw it recently. But then last night I was watching, I think I turned past MSNBC, and since Harry Belafonte just passed, Beach Street also came to mind almost concurrently, because that I'm going to go with Beach Street, not only because of Harry Belafonte, that people don't remember he actually produced, but because that movie is so that era of, what was it, 83, 84, 1980s New York City breakdancing, hip hop culture was just really starting to, you know, blow up and catch the attention of mainstream America. You know, the songs are stuck in my head. I don't know why I know the lyrics to Tu Cariño Way. I should know that song. I'm not Latino or Latinx, but I was in the BX and that song was big on the soundtrack. So I'm gonna go with Beach Street. That's my New York movie.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
That is a great one. You know, it beats I don't know why, and this is borderline embarrassing, that the reason I had Dean go first is I was like, I'm not as Dean, you know, Dean, you're an almanac for movies. You have such a well of knowledge about them. The first movie that came to my head when you said New York movie, for some reason, it was How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I don't know. I don't know. And then I'm like, I'm pretty sure it takes place in New York. I'm pretty sure that's far down the list of iconic New York movies, but I'm pretty sure it did happen in New York. So it technically qualifies. That's what I'm going with. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Was it that was in New York, that movie?
Well, this is embarrassing. As we were talking, I literally Googled How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days takes place in New York. And it did. It said film shoot locations 4th and Christopher. And I was like, yes, I can say this and not embarrass myself on Doug Loves Movies.
No, this is just proof that the internet just tells you exactly what you want to hear.
Avatar.
I'm guessing it was mostly shot in Toronto,
right? Because right.
That was a big substitute for New York back around those days to save money. Yeah.
You know what? I was afraid, Brett. I was afraid you were going to go with Stuart Little. something about you read Stuart Little, and so when you said something with adults, I said, okay, at least it's a mature movie.
And probably because half my closet is the same as Stuart Little's. Like, I think I got that little red cardigan in 5 different shades of red.
All right, Sam, these are some tough movies to beat. One of them. Anyway.
I know. Now I can't stop thinking about that genre of like early 2000s rom-com that was like always set in New York, and the woman was always a magazine editor.
Right.
Should she choose love or abusive magazine? We don't know. I think, like, for me, probably the most New York movie is Midnight Cowboy.
That's a good one.
Because, like, when you see him enter New York, I feel like that's the New York people talk about. They talk about, like, old New York and, like, how insane it was.
Right.
Yeah, how dangerous the Times Square area was. Allegedly.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure people think of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days more than that one, Sam. So.
I'm confusing that one with Failure to Launch because I just keep picturing like ships and stuff. But
thinking of Along Came Polly. Duet or Duplex, the Drew Barrymore one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sleepless in Seattle, of course, great New York movie.
It really is. It really is because it's a classic switcheroo that the New York doesn't get billing in the title, but it is the, you know, it is the climax. Sorry to spoil Sleepless in Seattle for anybody out there, but
spoiler alert.
Any lonely hearts out there listening right now? sorry to spoil the most romantic movie, according to some people.
New York's in that movie, huh?
That's they meet eventually for the first time, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks and that stupid kid, they all meet at the top of the Empire State Building.
I didn't know. Thanks, Doug. God, I didn't appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd say it's more of a New York movie than How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, which was shot in Toronto.
Yeah.
Speaking of How to Lose a Guy, I remember that movie well because that was the movie that got me sick of all of those romantic comedies because Matthew McConaughey's character went out of his way to do good, and she still found reasons to be mad at him. And as a man, I remember watching this movie, and I was like, wait, so even when he's right, he's wrong? And I said, oh, that's exactly how it works.
Spoken like a true married man, Dean.
Yeah, man.
So great job, everybody, with these recommendations. Midnight Cowboy, I think anybody that spends any time in New York can relate to the part where Dustin Hoffman yells at the guy in the car, you know, I'm walking here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Every day.
I think Brett just learned where that line is from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I, you're absolutely right. I just learned where that was from. Didn't know. Thought it was from a movie like Taxi or some shit.
Good guess.
You mean the movie Taxi Driver, because Taxi was a sitcom, right?
Yeah, yes, Dean. Yes, thank you.
Danny
yes, I
DeVito's
do.
DeVito's iconic line.
Right. I can't believe Brett, knowing what you, how much more Dean knows than you about movies, that you would come on this competition show on purpose.
I'm about to get smoked. So movies are the ones, those are the ones with like moving pictures, right? Like where they, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, just checking, make sure. Yeah, yeah, I know, yeah. I know the concept.
Those are the things that we're spoofing in the play you plug so well, and since then it's been going down.
Well, we're gonna start playing those games right after this break. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back, and the first game we're going to play today is a little something I came up with called Worst Best Pick.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how this game works. I name three Best Picture Oscar winners, and then you tell me which one of those three got the worst score from critics on Rotten Tomatoes.
I love it.
The lowest percentage on Rotten Tomatoes. They all do fairly well. The worst rated Best Picture winner ever got like 42% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, you know, the scores aren't that terrible. The trick is to figure out which movie, you know, they liked the best, or I should say the least. So I'll name three movies. Brett goes first. I'll name three movies. If he guesses wrong which one has the worst score, then Dean gets a crack at the remaining two answers. And if Dean misses, then Sam gets the gimme point, and the game proceeds from there. Are you ready, Brett?
I'm ready. Let's rock.
All right. It's for Brett and Brett alone to answer. From these three films, which one do you think got the worst Rotten Tomatoes score? Out of Africa, Forrest Gump, or A Beautiful Mind?
A Beautiful Mind.
No hesitation there. Why so quick to answer?
I could immediately eliminate a Forrest Gump. I'm like, there's no way that got the lowest one. And then Out of Africa, honestly, I don't know that movie. And so A Beautiful Mind, I do know that my mom thinks that movie sucks. So I was just picturing my mom telling me she saw that in theaters and she said it wasn't good. And I think it has Russell Crowe in it. That's unrelated to me saying it probably has the lowest score. But off Willa Raybould's vote of no confidence many years ago, I know A Beautiful Mind has to have the lowest score. Come on, Willa.
Incorrect. That is
incorrect. Oh, come on. Come on, man. Willa. Damn it, Mom. Damn it.
Dean, tell him what, Dean. Which one, Out of Africa or Forrest Gump, which one got the worst rating from Rotten Tomatoes?
You know what? I'm going to go with Out of Africa, if for no other reason, right, than the fact that it beat out The Color Purple got nominated for a bunch of awards that year and won nothing. And most people can't even remember what Out of Africa was about, but at least in Black households, The Color Purple is a classic. So I'm going to go with Out of Africa. Although I will add this, right? I will add, this could be a trick question because Forrest Gump was a commercial success and wound up, I think Hanks won the Oscar, but sometimes people are mad, you know, like people are mad, and so they're going to go the opposite way, but I'm going to go with Out of Africa.
I'm glad we didn't get too far away from that initial answer, because that is correct.
Yeah.
Out of Africa, lowest rated of those three with 61%. And Forrest Gump got 71%. And A Beautiful Mind of those three was the highest at 74%.
Wow. But see,
even still, Forrest Gump, you would think, did better than, like, I would think, because it's such a classic, I would think that people gave it a higher score, but I know a lot of people still had issues with it.
Yeah, it's a weird movie. I think all three of those movies are under the current scrutiny, and especially compared to the things that they beat, they don't really, they're not standing the test of time. Out of Africa is one of the most boring Oscar winners ever, I think. Color Purple is way better. But Color Purple, the musical, is about to come out, the movie musical.
Right.
So its story is far from over. All right, Samantha. Are you ready for your first crack at this thing?
Can't wait.
Then I will not make you wait any longer. This is a tough one. Braveheart, Crash, or Green Book? Which one got the worst score?
I'm between Braveheart and Green Book. I feel like when Crash came out, people thought it was pretty brilliant. I'm going to go with Green Book, because I feel like people immediately were like, about it. No.
Sorry. It was. You're right about it being a big huh, but for some reason, that formula of Green Book really, I hope it worked for the last time with those old white voters really ate it up. They really thought that guy learned to stop being a racist on a road trip.
Yeah. It's an interesting movie because it's actually really technically proficient. It's just where the frustration from people lied in was how much adulation it got. And I think it showed such a disconnect between, I guess, the Academy and like actual culture or like pop culture, just like how big of a gap there is between what they perceive as high art, which is just a movie about a guy, you know, learning to not be racist. And how is that like, the highest piece of art? Like, that really explored the issue so well.
Right.
Well, it also plays into, like, if you go through all the past Oscar winners, you just see a lot of movies that for that year that it came out, it wasn't the most remembered or the, you know, it would tended to be the one that everyone agreed upon was fine. You know, like, it's that kind of like, you know, just the movie that's least objectionable to everybody, or I should say also heartwarming and uplifting tends to be a big part of it, you know. And Viggo Mortensen act the hell out of that role. I just thought it's just a silly movie.
Do you think so? Because I think Viggo Mortensen's Italian guy is like an SNL caricature. I don't know, man. I watch and Viggo Mortensen is, I know he acted the hell out of it, but he's literally just like gobbledygook. and then Sebastian Maniscalco, I'm watching and I'm going, is Sebastian really in this? It was like the most, they couldn't have made him more not actually Italian, but like a WASP's perception of what an Italian guy is.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the Farrelly brothers aren't Italians.
He was always holding a giant sandwich, I feel like.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's like a joke we have in our thing. Yeah, like,
yeah, that's funny. Yeah, they actually wrote that into Race the movie, the play.
Yeah,
the fact that he always has his chicken cutlet. That's funny.
Our play starts as a parody of Green Book and then just offshoots to become a parody of all of those type of movies. But that's where it starts. And Green Book, you know, it is, you know, there's a lot of implicitly offensive stuff to black people in that movie. I mean, for fuck's sake, that pianist is one of the most accomplished people in his generation. And he did it while being a black man in like the 60s. And yet they focus the story on just the driver who's learning to not be an asshole. Like, how is that? How do you have someone who's lived that life and you're like, yeah, but the guy who learned that casual racism is actually kind of fucked up too. Well, how is he the focus? But the thing I wanted to say is, so it's implicitly offensive to black people, but I think it's even more offensive to Italians because this fucking guy is so, like, cartoonishly Italian. It's so cartoonishly Italian.
Yeah, I mean, he's even like mobbed up, right? There's references to
of course,
the mafia, of course, too, right?
Of course, yeah. He's all of the things. He's all of the things.
All right. Well, where are we? What's happening?
I think I know that. Yeah.
Samantha missed. It's your turn. And Brett, you did you guess already?
No, I think I'm ready to answer, and I'm ready to lock it in, Doug, if I can lock it in.
Okay.
Crash. Crash.
Your answer is Crash.
Yes.
That's what you're going with.
Don't even remember the other one, but I remember Crash being an overrated movie.
The other one was Braveheart.
Braveheart.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't pick that just out of too much affection for that movie.
Okay. The answer.
Really?
No, you were right. I'm just joking around. Oh, okay.
Crash. Man. Crash. I was like, oh, okay. At least I had the second one. I didn't.
Yeah, Green Book got 77%. Again, because of all that great acting and precision filmmaking. And then Braveheart got 75%. And Crash got 74%, which I think is a mix of what you were saying, Sam, of how I think it was well received when it first came out, but then mixed in with now how people think it's garbage. I think that brought its rating down to 74 currently.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. So Brett's on the board too. Yes, sir.
Do you guys think it, looking at that movie now, do you think it's crap? Crash.
I haven't been compelled to watch it. Like, I've seen, like, if I see, like, a sequence, like, if I'm flipping around, I'll stop for a minute, because I'll be like, oh, yeah, Sandra Bullock and Brendan Fraser were in this. Right. And so I'll watch for a few minutes, and it just feels like, you know, especially by today's standards, it just seems very TV drama. It's kind of shocking.
Right, it's a best picture winner.
That's funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Oscars really do like a take back once every 5 years. We do a take back like once every 5 years. They go, here was our biggest mistake in the last 5 years, because clearly this movie is standing the test of time, and that one no one's talking about or feels the need to watch. So I feel like Crash would lose that year, because I'm pretty sure it didn't have like. Wasn't it going against like heavy hitters? Like,
Crash? Even if it wasn't, there's got to be something better. Okay. Right. So, Dean, you're up first on this next one. This one's very enjoyable to me, because it's shocking that these three titles have all won Best Picture, but here we are. Mm-hmm. Which one do you think has the worst score between Gladiator, Chariots of Fire, or Ben Hur?
Wow, I sense a theme. Gladiator, Chariots of Fire, Ben-Hur, and these are scored.
Yeah, and Chariots of Fire of those three has the least amount of chariots.
False advertising.
Right. I'm going to go with Chariots of Fire.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
Darn it all.
Sam, between Gladiator or Ben Hur, which one do you think got a worse
Rotten Tomatoes score?
You're going Gladiator?
Going Gladiator.
You did it. Congratulations. Oh, that is correct.
Mm.
Gladiator got a mere 80%, whereas Chariots of Fire got 83%, and Ben Hur got an 85%.
Interesting. Yeah. You could know it's. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I feel like you could guess Ben Hur because that's like considered like a filmic classic, like in like the Library of Congress, right? Isn't that like the first epic movie like that tackled like that era and it was so panoramically huge?
I think it was a pretty big movie. Yeah. I don't know, like in terms of, you know, being the first of anything in particular, because for some reason, that's why it's funny to me that there's, you know, at least two, maybe more Best Picture winning Gladiator movies. It's because Gladiator movie has really been like, it's a genre people don't really do much of anymore, but it's stuck around for years and years. It's interesting that like such a weird specific thing as being a Gladiator would, you know, I guess it just comes down to the, you know, competition, win or lose, you know, good guy, bad guy kind of dynamic of any Gladiator match. But we have quite a matchup going here because we've got a three-way tie. Everyone got one. So that means we have to settle this thing before we can move on.
Oh, no.
It's true. Brett, you get to go first. And first person to get this one right is our winner. So if you get it right, you win this game. And I'll tell you what you win.
Oh, man.
Between these three movies, Argo, that don't really have much in common other than I find it interesting that that they don't all just have 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Argo, Silence of the Lambs, or Lawrence of Arabia. Which one of those three?
Wow. Those are three great movies. Okay, so I'm cutting. I'm going to go with Argo has the lowest among those three.
That is incorrect. Dean.
Rats.
What were the other two choices? Was Silence of the Lambs, and what was the third one?
Lawrence of Arabia.
I'll go with poor little Clarice in Silence of the Lambs.
Oh!
Samantha takes it.
Well, no, she has to say the right answer, Sam.
What was the question?
Yes! DQ'd.
Yeah, they all are in the 90s. You know, it's just a one percentage point separating each. Wow. Argo's got 96, Silence of the Lambs got 95. The Lawrence of Arabia, those three, is the lowest with 94 percent. And Samantha wins that game, but as a previous guest on the show, she knows it doesn't mean much. We'll tell you what Sam won right after the break. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back. Congratulations, Sam. How are you feeling?
Honestly, I've never felt better. I needed a win. Even if it was by default.
Yeah, the classic way to win. Just sit there politely waiting your turn. Is a,
things come to those who wait.
Great way to win. So that just means that Samantha gets to go first in our big deciding game today. Something that I call Weird Algorithm. Here's how. You might have played this before, Samantha.
I don't think so, but let's see.
Okay, awesome. It's even better if you have it, but it's cool if you have. The algorithm on the Internet Movie Database, IMDb, is set up in such a way that, you know, they keep track of the popularity of all the celebrities that are on there. And when you are looking at the cast list of any project, any movie or TV show on IMDb, you can now hit refine the order of the list of cast members in order of their popularity according to IMDb. Yeah, you don't want to do it to yourself if you can help it. It's the new Googling yourself. I don't recommend it. But what I like to do is I like to take well-known motion pictures and find out by the standards of today, like this very day, according to IMDb, who is most popular. So I will name a movie, and we're going to start with Samantha and then go to Brett and then to Dean. And everybody's going to get to go a chance to go first in this game because we have three rounds. I'll name a movie. Start with Samantha. Samantha will tell me who in that movie. I'll even name a bunch of actors from the movie. I'm not, you know, trying to hide anything. And then Samantha will name who she thinks is number one on the list of you know, popularity of the cast of that movie. If you get number one, you get 3 points. If you get number two, you get 2 points. Number three, you get 1 point. And anything beyond that is not worth any points. And you can listen to the other people and share answers. Strategically, I want a winner at the end. But for the in the meantime, if you want to say the same answer as somebody else, go for it. You ready, Samantha?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Now, you know, I don't know if you've seen this motion picture, but I'll tell you who's in it. It's a rather grim Viking motion picture called The Northman.
Oh, yes. All right.
The Northman. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Okay. Starring Alexander Skarsgård, Nicole Kidman, Ethan Hawke is in it, Anya Taylor-Joy, Willem Dafoe. It's even got a dash of Bjork.
Wow.
Who of all those folks do you think would be the most popular today?
Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because of the AMC commercials.
Right. just mesmerizing. You can't go to the movies without thinking of Nicole Kidman.
Right. That's her credit.
She represents the movies. She is the movies.
She is Mr. Movie.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Brett, what do you think of that? Do you agree, or would you pick somebody else?
I mean, I'm inclined to agree. It's got to be Nicole. I'm sorry to Skarsgård and Dafoe and Bjork and Anya, but it's Nicole Kidman. That she's got to be the most like legendary amongst those five.
I'm glad you apologized to everybody on the list because I don't want to lose them as listeners.
Yeah, I don't want them to unfollow me either. So I just had to do it, you know.
Okay, fair enough. What about you, Dean? Do you agree with Brett and Samantha on this?
I lean more towards Willem Dafoe, man. I think he's been out. I mean, that's Platoon, you know. Legendary, but she's I'm gonna go with Dafoe just to be a contrarian.
Okay, he's got a new movie out. It was in limited release called Paint. No, that's not it. No, it was called some other one word title though. And but he was or maybe it's called Stuck. Anyway, he plays like a burglar who gets tries to steal some art and gets the security system traps him in the and traps him in overnight.
Sounds to me like that. He's not that popular though. I mean, from you not even knowing what it is. So
what was the last Kidman movie you went to see? And don't say Bewitched. Exactly.
I mean
I saw that
Air, dude. Air. She was great in Air.
Oh, she is?
No, I mean she's not an Air, but you know. Okay.
I was buying it. I was because
yeah, I bought it.
Dude,
that movie's got quite a cast.
Yeah,
Yeah, she can show up there. All right, so is everyone sticking with their answers? We got two Nicole Kidmans and one Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you'd be happy to know that Nicole did crack the top three, but she's just at number three.
What?
So that's 1 point for Samantha and 1 point for Brett. Number two is Alexander Skarsgård. I don't know what's been making his star rise currently, but
he's on Succession.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. And then numero uno is Anya Taylor-Joy.
Mm.
Oh my God.
She's the voice of that princess in the Super Mario Brothers.
Ah.
Yeah. Oh, she's Peach.
That movie's huge, yeah. Princess Peach.
Oh, so it's like who's like hottest at this exact moment?
I got you.
Yeah, as of like today.
Okay.
Because I was doing a week ago. So yeah, fuck, my bad.
Hey, stupid.
All right. Well, Brett, you get to go first on this next one, so you can get everybody's minds. Samantha got everybody so excited about Nicole Kidman. It was great.
I know.
All right.
Heartbreak feels pretty good in a place like this.
Brett, who do you think from the movie? Are you a fan of those Middle Earth Tolkien motion pictures?
Oh, love them. Those are okay. Fantastic flicks.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about the first of the Hobbit trilogy, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey.
The best ones by far.
Starring Ian McKellen, Martin Freeman, David Armitage, Ian Holm, Elijah Wood, Hugo Weaving, Kate Blanchett, Andy Serkis, Lee Pace, Benedict Cumberbatch. I mean, it's just chock full of famous people.
Yeah. And I know my answer.
Okay, what do you got?
I'm going with Benedict Cumberbatch. That's my number one.
All right.
Benny Combs.
Benny Combs, I think.
That, yeah. I came on the show. It's actually pre-written in my notes to make sure I say that.
Dean, who do you think are those people?
Would you give me the list of actors again?
Sure. Is Ian McKellen? Mm-hmm. He's got the long beard, and Martin Freeman is the main
Bilbo.
One.
That's Bilbo. Okay.
Yeah. Then there's that guy Thorin. He has a fun beard. He's played by Richard Armitage.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Ian Holm plays old Bilbo.
Right.
Elijah Wood as
Frodo.
His guy. Yeah. Hugo Weaving's got the long white hair.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Blanchett's got the long white hair. Christopher Lee's got the long white hair. Andy Serkis is as Gollum, and Lee Pace must play some gigantic character, and Benny Combs.
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna now that I understand the game more and who's the most popular right now. Andy Serkis was in Black Panther, but Martin, what's his name? That
Martin
played,
Freeman was too.
Yeah, Freeman has more Marvel cred because he plays the agent, and he's in more of the movies. But Kate Blanchett was in Tar, and that's most current. But Benny Combs, I'm gonna go with Cumberbatch as well, because of Doctor Strange.
The Marvels, yeah, that's where my head was at too.
Yeah.
All right, Sam. What do you think about this, Sam?
I think that the Marvel point is a good one. I do think that Tar is probably more recent than Doctor Strange, so I'm gonna go with none other than Carol herself, Kate Blanchett.
Carol. That's such a weird name for a movie. It's a good movie, but you know, just some ladies, you know, like it's like, hey, you're going to the movies? Yeah, I'm gonna go see Denise.
That sounds like the date. That's your date.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right. So we got two Benny Cums and one Kate B. And everybody's locked in.
Locked in.
All right. Yep. Here comes the bad news. Kate Blanchett made the cut at number three.
Mm.
That's worth 1 point to Samantha. But then number two is Andy Serkis, who, as far as I can tell, he's got a juicy part in this new Luther series with Idris Elba. It's a movie.
You're right. Yeah, he does. He does.
Yeah, so he's big on Netflix right now. And then also big on Netflix, number one is that guy Richard Armitage.
What?
Who plays Thorin? He's in this thing on Netflix called Obsession.
What?
I'm not familiar.
Yeah.
Come on.
Exactly. That was a tricky one.
That was a tricky one.
And it's about to get even trickier for our third and final round. Dean gets to start off this time. And the motion picture. The movie is Quentin Tarantino's Jackie Brown.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Based on Elmore Leonard's Rum Punch.
Yeah.
And starring Pam Grier, Sam Jackson, Robert Forster, Bridget Fonda, Michael Keaton, Robert De Niro, Chris Tucker.
Ooh.
Who do you like out of that gang?
Oh, because Chris Tucker is in Air.
Right?
You said two. What was the name? Not before his, but right before the two before Chris Tucker,
Michael Keaton.
He's been in those new Batman trailers, man.
Yeah, he's in The Flash, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, it is a good one. I'm torn between Chris Tucker and I'm Batman. I'll say, because Air is in theaters now, and but Keaton is so dope, man. And people are excited about Keaton being, you know. I'm going to do what they did for me when they nominated me for best supporting, when they put the white guy over the black guy. I'm going to go with Keaton over Tucker.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Al Sharpton.
Samantha.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna go with De Niro.
Mm-hmm. Going with classic vintage.
Yes, but he also, well, you know what? I don't need to give Brett my reasoning because he hasn't picked yet. So,
oh, wow. Sam's getting sorry. Wow. Yeah. Like it.
Body blow.
Yeah. What's your theory, Brett? Who do you think it is?
I mean, you know, I'm going to say Al Sharpton, I got your back, my friend. And I'm going to go with Chris Tucker. I think because I just saw him last night. I went and saw Air with my buddy. And so he's just fresh in my head. Saw Chris Tucker act about 20 hours ago. He did a great job going with Tucker. And I just want to say, Sam, you're going down. That disrespect will never be forgiven.
Brett, I just want to say understood.
Okay, beef squashed.
Okay, so Dean, are you still good with your choice there?
You know what? Part of me wants to switch to Chris Tucker, but I'll stay with Keaton.
All right, you're gonna stick with Keaton, and Samantha's got De Niro.
Yep.
And who do you have, Brett?
I got Chris Tucker. He had a great sex scene with Nicole Kidman in Air. It was really, really compelling.
Who did she play the part of Air?
Yeah. She was actually the sneaker.
Okay, so third place of all of those great actors that are in Jackie Brown that did go to Mr. Robert De Niro.
Oh, so devastating.
That's worth one more point to Samantha, who now has a total of 3 points. Coming in at number two, this is a curveball. Nobody could have seen this coming, but if you did, you would have scored 2 points. Quentin Tarantino himself.
Wow.
Interesting.
He's a voice on a, like on a, you know, a home, you know, a message machine that we use, those things we used to have. answering machine. He's a voice on an answering machine, I guess. Oh, wow. I like that movie a lot, but I remember hearing his voice. Number one, and for very lame reasons, is the great Bridget Fonda.
Oh,
what in the Stan
because Hill? the world is mad that Bridget Fonda, you know, she's retired, she doesn't act anymore. But the world saw pictures of her and they got all upset that she's like an older, overweight lady now.
Really?
Yeah. It's total bummer. Yeah, it's really wild. And, you know, like TMZ caught up to her somewhere and they're like, "You're going to act again?" She's like, "No, I'm good." And that was, you know.
Good for her.
Yeah. She's married to Danny Elfman, so they have all the money.
Yeah, they're fine.
Right.
Yeah. And she's raised kids and she's not, you know, an actress in movies. So why does anybody need to be concerned about her appearance? So I brought it up today just to put a squash on it.
I'm looking at the picture and it does catch you off guard. Wow.
Settle down.
Yeah, I'm drastically different.
Yeah. But congratulations, Samantha. You won our game today.
Thank you. Thank you, Doug.
You pulled it off. You get to do your plugs first, even though you're just out there living it up and have nothing to plug.
Well, you know, I'll have a special drop in later this year, and I've been doing a little radio show on AMP. There's the new Amazon app. Every Monday night at 6 p.m. I've been doing a show called What Are They Up To, where I play music from a band that was like in the public pop culture lexicon around the 90s, 2000s. And then I basically tell people what they're doing, play some of their music.
Nice. And can terrific. I just say, there are no small radio shows, Samantha.
Only little DJs.
I mean, that's a fun thing about radios. If you, you know, if you don't read the numbers, you know, you can just, your imagination decides how big the audience is.
Oh, no, it tells me exactly how many people are listening. And if everyone leaves, it no longer gives me the license to the music.
Oh, no. Okay.
That's terrible.
Hang in there, kid.
It's a living.
Dean Edwards, thanks so much for doing the show, man.
Of course, man. Thank you.
What would you like to say before Brett starts talking? What would you like to add in terms of your own personal promotion?
Personal promotion, make sure y'all go. He's going to say it, but I'm going to say it too because I'm a producer as well as a co-star. Check out Race the Movie, the play, playing all month, the month of May. At Soho Playhouse, if you're in the New York City tri-state area. It's an amazing show, super funny, a talented cast and some brilliant writers. And it's a great show because it's been a collaborative effort where you've had some amazingly funny, talented creators behind the scenes. And everyone has made this. The show that we did last year during the New York Theater Festival has only gotten better in the last year and it's gotten a lot tighter. So make sure y'all check us out there. And I'm also going to plug, I'm at Yonkers Comedy Club, May 11th through 13th. You can check out my website, deanedwards.net, to get your tickets. Yonkers Comedy Festival, Yonkers Comedy Club, and then Race the Movie to Play at Soho Playhouse. And thanks again, Doug. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, man. Brett?
Yeah, just doubling down on that plug. I mean, I came out of the gate hot with the plug. Maybe I jumped the gun on plug, so I apologize. If you need to just copy and paste me opening the show with that 90-second plug and just put it here. Totally get that. No, but we're really proud of this show. There's so many amazing comics in Race the Movie the Play. I can't wait for everyone to see it. So just go to racethemovietheplay.com to get tickets and get them fast. If this sounds interesting, get them now because we're starting to sell out and we're only going to sell out more the more the show goes. So don't hesitate. And if you need a promo code that's juicy and delicious, DM me on Instagram at Brett Raybould, Brett with one T. And yeah, thank you so much for the support and for having me on the show, Doug.
Thank you, Brett. Here's my plugs. This Friday, May 5th, I'm doing a happy hour stand-up show at Zany's in Rosemont, Illinois. And then the next day, I'm doing Doug Loves Movies at 420 in the same venue. Mother's Day, I'm doing my annual Doug Loves Movies at the Denver Comedy Works at 420. And I'm doing stand-up at Magoobies in Timonium, Maryland on Tuesday, May 16th. Other dates also coming up, all at douglovesmovies.com. Thank you once again to my guests, Brett Raybould, Dean Edwards, and Samantha Ruddy. Samantha, will have you back as a champion as soon as possible.
I can't wait. I'm going to go take a long nap until it's time for Doug Loves Movies again.
This is bullshit. This is bullshit.
Thanks, everybody. As always, he ran them off their feet.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, because Doug.